Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, ever. And another one. Why you all in my ear talking a whole bunch of shit that I ain't trying to hear? Get back. You don't know me like that. Get back.
Rams Nation. What's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. Thursday edition, Locked On Rams. The countdown is on. We are almost there to Super Bowl Sunday. But today we've got Vinny Bonsignor, per usual, as our Thursday guest. So I'm excited about the conversation I had. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. As the Rams were back in action today, actually having a walkthrough. They did some media early in the day and then went out to the field. I think they're actually out at the Atlanta Falcons training facility. Did a couple walkthroughs, got back on to more of the routine. From here on out, we will start to see them doing practices. They have Thursday, Friday. I believe they do a walkthrough Saturday, and Sunday's the big game. We're going to kind of take a stroll down memory lane with Vinny. We're going to talk about our original conversation we had way back then in the preseason, some of the predictions that he had, and then kind of seeing how this team developed over the season, as well as kind of getting into this Sunday's game. Remember, we got Serena Morales tomorrow on Friday Hype Edition, so come back and check us out for that. Want to welcome in all my listeners, especially my new listeners, 5 days a week, Rams content, news, information, and updates. Your team every day, only on the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere podcasts are at. We are there as well. Hit us up on social media at @LA_RamblingBear on Twitter, Locked On Rams, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Before we get over that conversation, remember, we got a lot going on this week. We've got our Lokai bracelet deal, 25% off of that. If you send me a screenshot of your purchase, you're entered to win an NFC Championship Rams shirt or a Super Bowl shirt, depending on how this weekend goes. I'm going to pick one random winner from that, as well as our playoff towel giveaway. All you have to do is find the feed on our Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter where I'm asking for your score prediction. If you hit the score, you win. If no one hits it, we'll take the closest total points. The first person to enter will win there. And then Tom's Urban got an awesome event down there this Sunday, $100 to get in. And in fact, for you guys, it's $20 off when you mention the podcast. So $80, all you can drink, all you can eat, downtown LA. Can't get much better than that. Come check us out. We'll talk about it later in the show as well. But I'm going to kick right into it because I had a long conversation with Vinny, so I want to get over that. As I mentioned earlier, we will be back tomorrow, Friday. Hype edition. Last one of the week. Last one before the Super Bowl. Serena Morales live from Atlanta talking us all things hype, all things to get you ready. We're going to talk about some of the awesome prop bets that are out there. Any questions you may have for Serena, send it in. You know the deal. Also got the Google number 657-345-4988. You guys have been awesome about texting me. Keep it coming. But with that said, Rams Nation, you know what it is. Until next time. Peace. Enjoy my conversation with Vinny. Why you all in my ear talking a whole bunch of shit that I ain't trying to hear? Get back. You don't know me like that. Get back. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Thursday edition, Locked On Rams, Super Bowl week. You know the storyline. I don't have to set it up for you. So we've got Vinny Bonsignor joining us live down from Atlanta. Vinny, how you doing?
I'm doing really good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, man, we are hanging in there and counting down. We're actually at the point where we're almost counting down the hours, no longer the days. It's getting that close now. You've been in Atlanta. When did you get down there?
I got here Sunday night.
Okay, so kind of set the scene for us. What's this week like, Ben? You know, talk a little bit about, you know, what the media day was like and just in general, what the aura around that stadium, that environment, the city of Atlanta altogether.
It builds. You know, you get here and you start seeing, you know, some of the signage and some of the infrastructure that the NFL always comes in and they basically take over a city. And so, and transform it into an NFL extravaganza. So you start seeing that initially coming in from the airport and to your downtown hotel. The people start arriving slowly but surely. And so that builds, you know, the fan interest starts building and you can start like today, you know, you start feeling everyone's presence. Radio Row starts getting, you know, more congested, more players are coming through to pitch their products and talk on the radio and TV and everything like that. So it's a buildup. It's really cool. You can sense that something big is getting ready to happen. And you know, I've covered a lot of Super Bowls, but I have never covered a team in the Super Bowl. So it's a little bit different for me. A lot of work, you know, because you're trying to you know, whet the appetite of all your readers, and this is their time, and you understand that, and you want to give them everything. So there's a lot of work, but there's some enjoyment to it as well, no question.
Yeah, definitely, and you're right, the appetite of readers. I mean, I haven't seen Rams fans kind of more critical than ever. You know, everyone is now super protective of their team as articles come out and news and everything is kind of released to us. That opening day was pretty awesome to see some of the young guys get out there and get in front of the camera and just seemed like they're living it up. Were you there at opening night? And maybe what's a story that came away from that night, you know, from that experience?
Yeah, I definitely was there. And just the comfort level that the Rams, you know, the Rams feel. It's funny, you know, it's a mosh pit, okay? And what you see on TV is not really what's going on. There's a lot of, you can see how the sausage is cooked or, you know, made type of stuff going on. It's a totally made-for-TV event, and it looks spectacular on TV. I have to give them credit because I watched, like, the replay, basically, you know, of it. And I'm like, that's not what we were experiencing at all down in the underbelly of it all. And it's funny because, you know, after a while, when you cover a team, you get to know guys, and they know you, and they know your face. So there's, even in those type of settings, in settings where there's just this mass amount of people, you see a player, and, you know, he kind of winks at you, and you wink at you, like it's a familiar face, and you kind of feel good about that, actually.
Right.
Because you're surrounded by all these people, you're like, who the hell are all these people? And so there's a little bit of a comfort level in that, which I always find, you know, pretty funny. But I like how the Rams they enjoyed it. They totally enjoyed Monday night. It's only an hour, and people, you know, I know a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, you know, they have to put them through this. It's just an hour of their time on Monday, which is typically their off day anyway. It didn't interfere with anything. And I felt that they're really loose. The players are, you know, and enjoying the moment. And then slowly but surely, as the week goes on, it gets a little bit more normal for them. As much as you can make Super Bowl week normal, but what I'm sensing and what I saw on Monday night was guys just having fun with it. You know, for a lot of these guys, you know, you hope for them that they make it back at some point, and I think with this team, I wouldn't count that out whatsoever. But you never know. Guys come and go, too. You know, there's guys that will not be here regardless of what happens from this point forward. This will be it for them. And I think the guys understand that. So they're like, hey, man, I'm in the Super Bowl. This is everybody's dream. Not everyone gets here. I'm going to enjoy the darn moment. And I find that refreshing. I like that about it.
Yeah, I like your perspective there because that's kind of what came off as we watched it on TV was that they looked really relaxed. They didn't look, you know, overwhelmed in the moment. They really seemed to be soaking it up. Even some of the interviews that I saw kind of come out, even talking with Marcus Peters, who typically doesn't seem to really enjoy a ton of media around his area. And, you know, he seemed to have fun with it. And when they asked him, like, you know, they're kind of setting him up, like, I'm sure you hate this. And he's like, yeah, it's not the best, but I'm loving every minute of it. He kind of turned it around on a very positive spin, kind of like you said, this is maybe my only chance to get here. I've been in the playoffs. I've never gotten this far. So to see them enjoy it from top to bottom and McVay look so comfortable, it kind of gave us a sense of ease that this moment isn't too big. I mean, we've had moments throughout the season to really prepare us for that on the field. But like you said, there's no such thing as a normal Super Bowl week. So to see these guys kind of go with it in stride was pretty cool. And then to hear your perspective of what it looked like on TV, because it did look great on TV compared to what it's like in the belly of the beast down there and just kind of mayhem when you saw some of the footage from down there. So that was good stuff. What we're going to do is we're actually going to step aside. We're going to take a break. We're going to get words from our sponsor. We're going to be right back. Vinny Bonsignor, Bear Motter, Thursday edition, Locked On Rams, right after this. Why you all in my ear talking a whole bunch of shit that I ain't trying to hear? Get back. You don't know me like that. Listen up, Rams Nation. Before we get over to the next segment, we've got to talk about the man, the myth, the Robles. Dave Robles. He's given you a chance to win season tickets to the 2019 Rams season. How do you do that? You give him a call.
If you're buying or selling a home right now, he's the guy you got to be talking to. He's been a top producing realtor in LA for over 20 years. Dave is a Los Angeles native, so he knows the city in and out. He's a super strong negotiator who understands how to get you an awesome deal on a home or top dollar for your current home if you're selling. I talked to him on the phone not too long ago, and he was telling me about how he got an extra $50,000 to his client's pocket when they took over the property. Spiced it up a little bit, took some pictures, put it on social media, used the strong team behind him to help sell this house and make an extra $50,000 for his client. That can be you. Check out his excellent reviews on Yelp and Zillow. He's a super awesome guy. I promise you, he's going to take care of you. Check out his website, daverobles.com. That's daverobles.com. Or just give him a call, 213-712-4343. Tell him Bear Motter sent you. Mention Lockdown Rams, and I'm telling you right now, he's going to get you season tickets to the 2019 Rams season. And if you're moving out of town, he helps you sell your house, he'll give you equal value and take care of you as well. Dave Robles gets the Bear stamp of approval. And don't forget, check out daverobles.com or call him at 213-712-4343. All right, Ram fans, while we're talking awesome deals right now, we mentioned it earlier in the show, but Tom's Urban downtown LA is hooking it up. Go to tomsurban.com/lockedon, and you're going to be brought to the deal of the century when it comes to the Super Bowl. It's open bar, open buffet, all you can eat, all you can drink for three quarters. And because you are a listener of the show, you're getting $20 off that price. So what originally is $100 now is $80 a person. $80 a person for a Super Bowl, all you can eat, all you can drink. That deal right there alone should solidify what you're doing on Sunday. Come down and join us, Tom's Urban, downtown LA. It's literally right across from the Staples Center. Free Super Bowl squares with great prizes, so they're going to be doing some fun things along the way. They can host big parties as well, so book this today. You'll get VIP seating. All you have to do is go to the website, tomsurban.com/lockedon. You sign up there. Their booking host will contact you to get further details. Make sure at that point to mention you heard this on Locked On Rams. They will then apply your discount. They've got it all for the big game, so make sure you are there. Again, $80 for the whole day. I'm going to rack up that bill in the first quarter. So come join me down at Tom's Urban, downtown LA. Again, that's tomsurban.com/lockedon. Make sure to let them know you heard it here on Locked On Rams. All right, Rams Nation, we are back, Thursday edition. Vinny Bonsignor, you guys know where to find him, at Vinny Bonsignor on Twitter. He's putting up awesome stuff all week, great articles leading up to the big game, so check that out. Athletic LA is who he writes for, so if you don't have a subscription, I think there's actually another Super Bowl deal floating around there right now as well, so hit me up if you need one of those. We'll get you set up on a subscription there, so check that out. Vinny, I went back to take a look where this all started. And I went to our first conversation, which was getting ready for preseason game three. And that seems like a long time ago. At that point, Aaron Donald hadn't signed yet. We still hadn't seen a starter in the preseason. We were debating that, what was going to happen. And when I asked about, is that concerning not seeing starters at all during the preseason, you told me, quote unquote, easy grasshopper. You know, it's still early. And you know what? Boy, were you right at that point. Talk to me about, you know, just that part of the season, right? Way back in training camp and all that, and all the debate about not playing in the preseason, and here we are in the Super Bowl. Do you see this being a trend that is going to be moving forward, or at least something that McVay is going to do every year now?
You know, I think it's going to depend on where your team is and where your coach's comfortability is, you know, with that team. And we have to remember that that wasn't really the plan. What threw everything out of whack was a couple of things. Was A, the Raiders being put on, they were always going to play the Rams in the preseason. But, and I think even had the Raiders-Rams game been like mid-season or later, the Rams would have been completely comfortable with putting their starters out there against the Raiders that preseason game. But because the Raiders were their opening opponent, they're like, no, we're not going to do that. And then right before the, what game am I thinking of? I can't even remember which game it was or who they were playing necessarily. But, oh, it was the Houston Texans. And they were fully planning to play their starting offense in that game. But Rob Havenstein wasn't going to be able to play in that game because something had happened. I don't remember exactly what the injury was. And Andrew Whitworth was not going to play regardless. So it meant that their two tackles were not going to be in that game. And Sean McVay knew that, you know, the Texans were going to play their starting defense for at least a couple of series or maybe even longer. And he's like, there's no way I'm going to put Jared Goff back there against those guys without my right my tackles. So he just decided, you know what, forget it. We're not even going to play any of our starters for that matter if we can't play our starting quarterback, because really, what's the point? So it wasn't really the plan. It just was dynamics and circumstances played out that way. But long-winded answer to say, will they do it next year? Maybe. this might be something that they decided, you know what, obviously it didn't hurt us, so, you know, why not? But, you know, all of those things are – one thing I really give Sean McVay a lot of credit for is his flexibility and his adaptability to whatever the situation might be. And he has this way of looking at the big picture, even in little picture moments. So to say that he won't do that next year, I'm not going to say that because whatever little picture he's looking at, he's going to apply it to the big picture and vice versa. And then he'll make his decision and move forward with it confidently as he always does. But if he senses, hey, we probably need to get them out on the field, you know, against somebody, then he will do that. But I will say they're going to Hawaii next year for training camp. There will be another team that joins them in Hawaii. The speculation is that that team will practice with them in the week leading up to the preseason game. And like what happened earlier this year or last year now, you know, they got that chance to go practice against the Baltimore Ravens, who turned out to be a pretty darn good playoff caliber team. And you can see that they're pretty good in practice, especially defensively. They made the Rams work in those practices, and they were a couple of days of just grueling in intense humidity where guys were getting after it. And I think that part of it too, that I forgot to even talk about, was they felt like the snaps that they got against the Ravens first team defense, I know it was just practice, but those guys were getting after it to the extent that you can nowadays. I think Sean said, you know what, we got a lot of work done there too, so I'm kind of feeling good about that part of it. So them doing the same thing next year against whoever it is that joins them in Hawaii could also create some comfort level that we don't really need to play in games. We've got the work done that we needed in these practices.
Yeah, well, it worked out this year so far, and you're right, talking about that that practice that we had with Baltimore, it was another thing that we talked about in that podcast way back in the day about how, you know, that was got them prepared, and depending on who we see down in Hawaii, maybe that might be the similar thing down there. And I kind of like this revisiting where we started, because there was a lot of good stuff, actually. We did a good job of that first podcast, by the way. We covered a lot, and I want to kind of come full circle, because some of it has come into play here. And we talked about the season leading into this season, and one of the big games that you had mentioned was that Dallas Cowboys game on the road, not this year, but last year, kind of really, you built mm-hmm. confidence in you and this team. What game this year did you think, you know, this team has showed me, improved me a bunch of confidence, and maybe saw, you know, a vision of, you know, you being Atlanta and maybe covering a Super Bowl?
There's three. One was the Seattle Seahawks game in Seattle. And then the next game, ironically enough, was the very next week in Denver. And then the other game was it was the Saints game, even in a loss. So the reason that I say the Seahawks game and the Broncos game is, you know, and I know that fans want things to work out perfectly and games to be perfect, and they're for no issues to occur and steamroll teams. And if you don't steamroll teams, there's weaknesses and there's something to be worried about and everything like that. I got to tell you guys that players look at it completely differently.
Right.
They're looking at it as, A, it ain't going down that way. This is the freaking NFL. There's no, what are you kidding me? This is the NFL. You think that we're just going to walk all over people every single week? That's not happening. So, and they understand that because they respect the talent that's in the NFL, which is the top of the world level of talent. To expect you, this isn't the SEC or the Pac-12 or the ACC. There's no, you're not going to outman guys. You know what I'm saying? There's, you're going to have to win through subtleness and nuance and effort and small margins. You're going to have to make the plays. You're going to have to be efficient. You're going to have to be all of those things. There's no steamrolling teams every week. And the reason I say that is because they walked into two really, really, really tough places back-to-back. Seattle is historically tough on opposing teams. Denver, we know, even if with a marginal team that they had this year, that's just a rough place to go play. It was rainy. It was cold in Seattle. It was snowing in Denver. It was crazy. It was like some record-breaking wind or winter, storm that hit that particular day. So there were these weather issues. There was the environment issues. There was, teams that wanted to beat them issues early in the season that both of those teams had a lot to play for. And I left Seattle thinking that's a playoff team. You could tell if they were that good. And they survived, and they won. And inside the locker room, when you're talking to guys, and they're like, this was an achievement. Fans may not understand it. Fans may think that, oh, my gosh, they, didn't play that well. It was a close game. Seattle, Denver, they should be killing these teams. And inside the locker room, they're like, this is really hard to do stuff like this. And they took so much from those two wins. And then even in the loss to the Saints, where – they got into that early hole. A lot of it was self-induced. There was the bad call by the referee on the fake punt, which probably should have been a first down, and it could have led to a touchdown that tied the game. Instead, it isn't called a first down. The Saints then drive down the field, and I believe they went up by 14 with a touchdown there, and then soon after Jared Goff throws an interception, they score another touchdown. All of a sudden, it's a 21-point deficit. It was just a very small little segment of the game that turned the game upside down, but they battled back and they came back from that 21-point deficit in a really loud environment to tie it. And then a poor communication issue happened, with Marcus. We all remember that. Mm-hmm. Leads to basically a game-winning touchdown. But inside that locker room after that game, they were like, if we got to come back here, we know we can beat these guys. And they literally, that's what they felt after that game. It wasn't cliched. It wasn't, false bravado. It was like legitimate confidence that we could handle this team. If we got to come back here, we'll be okay. We dealt with all the, now it was 10 times. It was funny because I was talking to Blake Countess and Marquis Christian about this. They were like, were you here? They forgot that I was there in November. At that Saints game, I'm like, yeah, wasn't it much louder the second time around? I'm like, much louder. It was like five times louder because the Ram players were thinking, it's not going to, how can it get louder?
Right.
And it was in November. And sure enough, it was even louder. But anyway, so those are the three instances this year where I felt this team is onto something. And yeah, we could point to the Kansas City game. That was also a pretty big moment, but those are the three games that I tucked away as they happen. I'm like, they're building something here. They're building a resiliency. They're building, a level of confidence that they could go anywhere. And I think I wrote this exactly like this. They could go anywhere at any time to beat anyone. And they truly believed that. And the sense that I got in looking at them, I believe it too, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I love those examples too. I mean, talking about especially the Seattle and Denver ones back to back, both road games. Obviously, all three of those were road games, but the Seattle game, very close, also kind of gave McVay confidence at that point to go aggressive and to trust his team. There was a big coach team building moment there that happened in that fourth quarter as well, and he was rewarded with the win. And then going into a tough environment in Denver in the cold, kind of back-to-back road games, kind of showing that they can handle those adversities. And the last one you mentioned, getting a little taste of you know, losing there and being able to understand that if a couple things go different, we can win this. Obviously, was proving the case when they went back and did win the game. So three great examples, and you're right. I mean, there was tons of games throughout the year you probably could have picked, but I like those three. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside, get a last break here, get some words from some sponsors. We'll be back Thursday edition. Bear Botter, Vinny Bonsignor, right after this. Why you all in my ear talking a whole bunch of shit that I ain't trying to hear? Get back, you don't know me like that. All right, before we get any further along the show, I also have to mention, I'm really excited about our new partner, Lokai. Trust me, if you need a little extra swag for game day, Lokai has got your back, and their brand new game day collection is going to bring it. If you haven't heard the name before, well, now you have. Lokai is an awesome company. Me personally, I've been rocking these bracelets for a few years now. Actually, I've had this one on my left hand for the whole season as well. And it's a bracelet with an amazing message, and it also sports an incredible cause. Lokai comes in Rams colors and holds water from Mount Everest in one bead, the highest place on Earth, and mud from the Dead Sea, the lowest place on Earth, in another bead. Their message is it's a daily reminder to stay balanced during life's highs and lows. I mean, me personally, big bracelet guy, I've been rocking bracelets on my hands for a long time now, and this one has an awesome message. It helps you kind of keep focused, like we said, during those challenging and good times in life. Perfect bracelet to go along with the Rams season as what they've gone through. And since Lokai is a friend of the show, they're offering you an exclusive discount of 25% off all Game Day Collection bracelets. Trust me, you gotta go check out this bracelet. Go to lokai.com, that's LOKAI.com. Use the promo code RAMS25. You're going to get 25% off the bracelets. Also, if you DM me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, anywhere, email it to me. You show me a slip that you bought one of these bracelets. You'll be entered to win an NFC championship t-shirt, or if we win the Super Bowl, a Super Bowl Rams t-shirt. All you have to do is send me that proof of purchase on a DM, whether that's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or even just email it to me. Lokai.com, Rams25, get your discount, support your team, and also a portion of it goes to charity. So win-win-win-win all around. Remember, Lokai.com, LOKAI.com. Rams25 is your promo code. Send me a message. You're entered to win that playoff t-shirt. Talking a whole bunch of shit that I ain't trying to hear. Get back. You don't know me like that. Get back. You don't know me like that. All right, Ram fans, we are back. We've got Vinny Bonsignor, the last time before the Super Bowl. And we've kind of been doing a little bit of a recap from our first conversation because we went back and forth on a bunch of awesome topics that looked into the future. So now here we are in the future kind of talking them out with Vinny himself. Guys, make sure to go give him a follow at Vinny Bonsignor on Twitter. And Vinny, the last one I want to talk about from our first conversation is I kind of put you on the spot like I always do and made you put a prediction out there. What did you think the Rams were going to do? You talked through it a little bit. You basically said 11-5, but then you hit us with, I would not be surprised if they went 13-3. So I'm going to give you credit that you nailed it. You went out there, you gave the safe one, but then said, this wouldn't surprise me either. So you nailed it there. And when we talked about the defense was going to be a big part of getting us there, and I asked, basically, take away Aaron Donald. He wasn't signed yet at that point. But I said, name some of the newcomers that you thought were going to be really, really key on getting us to that 13-3 record. And you said John Johnson III, Ebukam, and Littleton. I think you pricked him pretty well. You still feel that same way about how they got here defensively?
Yeah, and it was a struggle defensively. And, you know, the more I talked to players through it, you know, and especially off to the side where it's not necessarily what you write, you know, just kind of conversations where they, you know, they understand, like, they're trying to help you out a little bit to talk you through stuff, you know, and just to give you insight, basically. You know, don't quote me necessarily, but, you know, and one of the things that was going on was, and then I started writing more and more about this, and you know, especially basically on the council of players, and it was like, there were a lot of new faces on this defense. There were six new starters to start the season, and then they added Dante Fowler Jr. There were some injuries. Morgan Fox got hurt. He was a guy that the Rams really, really liked, you know, as far as being that guy on the outside that can create some edge pressure. And then Dominique Easley got hurt. That was the replacement. Right. So now you're down to Matt Longacre, and nothing against Matt, but he's not a every down type of a player. You know, he's a reserve kind of a guy, you know, and he does that well. He plays his role well. So then they had to add Dante Fowler Jr. in a trade to kind of shore up, you know, the pressure off of that. I felt like, you know, Samson, there was a major learning curve for Samson. And, you know, the more you look at it, the more you realize why he lasted where he went in the draft. He's just raw. And it's tough to learn kind of on the job at this level, but he held his own. I give him a lot of credit because he held his own. Littleton, I thought sort of wore down a little bit toward the end of the year. There were some times I think where he was a little bit fatigued. He's not the biggest guy, and he's playing inside, but he weathered it. He weathered that little storm for him. I thought he's played really well these last couple of games, in the playoffs. And then you name the big name. You know, you start talking about the big names and guys like, Domkin Su. The fit, him trying to figure out his place in this defense, in this scheme, Wade Phillips trying to figure out the best way to use him. Maybe some veteran savviness on his part in terms of really jacking it up when it really, really counts, which he has these last 2 weeks. And I don't say that disparagingly because I've been around professional sports a long time. And the one thing that you hear from guys who have done it is there's levels to it. There's preseason level. There's regular season level. There's December level. And I'm just talking about the NFL. You can go to the NBA and it's the same darn thing. Then there's playoff level. There's early playoff level. Then there's like way down the road playoff level. It's just you have to just keep pushing it up a notch. And I felt like Sue toward the end of the year started pushing it up a notch. And certainly these last two games has been really, really good and earned his contract. You know, a lot of this year we've been talking about, has he earned the money? Is he worth the investment? Well, he is now, period. There's no other argument. He's been really, really good in these playoffs. Of course, Aaron Donald had his season. John Johnson had another really, really good year. A little bit disappointed in LaMarcus Joyner's year. Not quite sure what that's all about. So the Rams are going to have a decision to make over there. But I think as the year went on, and more Wade was more comfortable with the players and the personnel and the skill sets and vice versa, it got a lot better, and I think they're playing good. They're playing good football right now. I mean, these last two playoff games, you know, shutting down the run game of the Cowboys, holding the Saints to what, 23 points? Yeah, I felt if they could hold the Saints to 20 points, which is what didn't Philadelphia hold them to, I felt if the Rams could do the same, that they would win that game. And they were pretty close to doing that. I mean, it was a slow start for them offensively against the Saints. But after they overcame some issues dealing with the noise, 26-10, they outscored the Saints from that point on, which is more what I felt. I just felt like they were the better team, and it showed as the game went on. Yes, defensively, they got it together, and these big names have now been playing as such at the right time.
Yeah, playoff Sue is a real thing, and we hope that it continues to go, and you're right. I'm excited to have some conversations with you after this season and kind of talk about what's next, because you're right. LaMarcus Joyner, very curious about that, you know, on the franchise tag. Sue on the one-year deal, you know, struggled throughout the year. Maybe not struggled, but it just didn't come out to the expectations of that what we really thought it until the playoffs. But that's the crazy thing is when you perform at the end, then you start going, okay, well, maybe now he's fitting in. So lots of questions moving forward, but you're right, the defense has really stepped it up. 49 yards on the ground they're allowing to the rush in the last two games, so they're going to need it again on Sunday. And in fact, as we're talking about Sunday, let's get to a couple things, get your opinion on a couple things. And for McVay and the game plan, obviously we know the whole Todd Gurley CJ thing. No one, I feel like, has a clue what's going to happen. Obviously, we understand that he's going to try to get Todd Gurley more involved in the game. But as far as that style of game plan, do you think this is going to be, you know, another 30-plus rushing attempt type of attack or a little bit more pass-heavy, balanced? What are your thoughts?
It depends on where the defense is at on defending the Patriots. I think I could see the Rams doing what you said, but is it going to be a game where you can do that? And I'm unsure on I think the Rams are going to win. I just don't know exactly what the formula is going to be. And the reason I say that is I believe the Rams are, you know, poised and seized for this moment. I've just been feeling that the last month or so, especially in these playoffs. But what I like about them, when you really start drilling down on the Rams, they can win in almost every fashion. It's very Patriot-like in a lot of ways. That's why I'm not sure exactly how it will go down, because the Patriots will have something to say about that. But I think that the Rams, whatever game it gets to be, and whether they're completely dictating the moment or they're kind of playing off some of you know what's going on, they're going to figure out a way to do it. And that's what I give Sean McVay and Wade Phillips do defensively so much credit for, is the adjustments that they make and how they can shed their skin, even within a game, to become what you need to become to win that particular game. And so for me or anyone to kind of sit here and predict how it's going to go down, other than I think that they're going to win, what's fascinating to me is how they're going to win.
Right.
It's how they're going to go about it. And they can do it in so many different ways. And the Patriots are going to force them, I think, to tap into all the various ways they can win a football game. It might be a special teams kind of a situation, but somehow, some way, they'll create what they need to create to win this football game.
So this one actually comes from one of our listeners, Connor White. He asked this last week, but we missed each other on the conversation. So he kind of texted me and said, hey, can you ask him again if you get a chance? And so I promised him I would. So this one comes from him. It kind of goes back to the coaching idea of what we were just talking about, but on the Wade Phillips side of things. And he kind of says, you know, Wade Phillips has experience in the postseason against Tom Brady. He's lost some, but he's also had some success. What are the keys for Wade Phillips' defense against Tom Brady specifically than any other quarterback?
Well, I don't think it's just necessarily against Tom Brady. I think it's I had a coach one time tell me that they were getting ready to play the Patriots, okay? And the week before, the Patriots came out and spread it out against whoever it was that they were playing. They just completely spread it out and just threw it like 40 times. You know, they were just dinking and dunking and just what a spread offense would do. And so the team that they were playing the following week structured everything to defend a spread out dink and dunk, you know, whatever. They dropped a defensive lineman to add a cornerback on their active roster. They were figuring they were going to be a nickel and dime all the entire game to react to what they're doing. And then, lo and behold, the Patriots come out and go power and run it like 18 straight times to start the game. And all of a sudden, they're up like 21-0 before you know it, because they're just out-muscling them. They completely flipped the script on what they did the week before. And so when we're talking about Wade and the defense, I think the greatest strength that he's going to have in this game is the ability to be flexible and to kind of figure out, all right, what are they going to do, and then adapt to that. And I think they have the personnel and they have the brain power to do that, but we're going to have to see how that's going to be, because the Patriots can come out completely opposite of what they were 2 weeks ago against the Kansas City Chiefs. You just don't know with them, and you have to prepare for that unknown factor and be able to have the resources and the personnel and an answer for whatever it is the Patriots are going to do.
Right, and I totally agree with you. I mean, we always talked about all year long about him being the master at the halftime adjustment. The Rams seem to have played better in the second half all year long, so hopefully he can kind of do that one more time here, and maybe it'd be nice if we start out defensively really well. We have in the playoffs so far. So, and as we look at this game, and as we're kind of on the coaching scheme of things, we talked about it earlier in the podcast, you know, Sean McVay going for it on fourth down in Seattle to go win that game. In the last couple games, he's had some moments of kind of putting it out there, and then also some moments of playing it safe. in this game, when you see some fourth and shorts or maybe some, you know, fourth and goal from the one, do you think he's going to go aggressive in this game, or do you think he's going to go more conservative, take points, punt when you have to? Thoughts on just kind of his aggressiveness in this game?
I remember talking to Sean McVay after the Super Bowl last year, okay? And I was asking him what he thought of the play calling. It was a dinner situation, just kind of very casual. And, like, the play calling of the Philadelphia Eagles. And he loved it. He loved the aggressiveness. He loved the creativity. And then we started getting into, and he's like, you know what, though? And he starts talking about the Oklahoma offense against, I forget what team he was watching them play, but it was Baker Mayfield, obviously, and the play structure and the creativity and the boldness and the aggressiveness that they showed. He was just like, man, it was just like they were just going for it, and they were fearless, and they were creative, and much like the Eagles were in that Patriots game last year. So I tucked away that conversation, not knowing that we're going to be in the Super Bowl this year to cover the Super Bowl. But the reason I did that was like, okay, what would Sean McVay do, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, in a game like this? And how bold will he come out? How aggressive will he be? How creative will he be? And I got to figure, you know, the way he was raving about Lincoln Riley's, you know, play calling in that Oklahoma game, and it was a big game, and then – you know, what the Eagles did and how they had all sorts of tricks up their sleeve and weren't, you know, they were bold. You know what I'm saying? They were mm-hmm. confident. They didn't just do the normal, you know, less risky thing. Hearing those words from him, I kind of figure that if it gets down to that, he's going to be pretty aggressive.
All right. I hope so, because I like when Sean McVay is aggressive, because he's got a great mind in short yardage situations. So I trust him. I mean, it kind of goes back to that Madden game, you know, and I'm sitting here hitting the button, go for it, go for it. And I'm sure a lot of Rams fans are too. But it's a little different when you got the headset on and you're in the biggest game of the year. So a couple quick hitters to get us out of here. You know, we usually do talk about my bookie and we do the spread, and we'll get to that in a second. But it's the Super Bowl, so there's a ton of really fun ones. I'm going to do one fun one, and then we'll kind of go more of a game-focused one. This one seems to be really popular in, you know, in kind of the betting scenario. The national anthem, Gladys Knight is performing, I believe, and they've got it at a minute and 40 seconds as the over-under. Do you think the over-under on the national anthem, a minute and 43, what are your thoughts?
I'm hoping for the under. long-drawn-out national anthems, but it is. You know, this is her hometown. She's got her. I told Darren Revelle, who I think this is his thing, right?
Or yeah.
Not be his thing.
Roughly, yeah. He's always tweeting about it.
Yeah. I told him, I go, so if I went over to her restaurant right now and ran into her and told her, hey, I'll give you a little bit of money, how does that affect, like, the legitimacy of this whole thing? But anyway, that's a whole other issue. And he just kind of grinned. He's like, I didn't think about that. But, I'm going to go under. I think she gets through it pretty quickly.
I like where your head's at, though, because I've thought that. There's so many random prop bets. I mean, they've got how many times Tony Romo's going to say, here we go, and things like that. And you're like, man, yeah. what if you're a buddy with Tony Romo, and you're like, hey, can you just sneak it in three times right at the beginning for me? And but yeah, you're right. These are pretty funny. But that one seems to be...
I guess nobody cares.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody cares about that possibility.
Right.
But maybe that's where my mind goes, because I'm like, why doesn't somebody just talk to, you know, Tony Romo? But I digress.
The other popular one is heads or tails at the coin toss. What would you pick?
Heads. Always go heads.
Oh, see, I'm always a tails never fails. That's been since, like, second grade, so I think I'm stuck with that one. Mm. So we'd go against each other there. And then MVP. Okay. MVP, we've got, you know, Tom Brady's the favorite, followed by Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Sony Michel, CJ Anderson, and Aaron Donald. Do you have any of those coming out as MVP, or do you have a wild card?
I'm going Todd Gurley, and I think he wasn't happy with his performance against the Saints. It would have been devastating for him had his season ended on that kind of a day. And I know he's a proud, huge sports fan, huge, big game, kind of, you know, fascinated with how guys play in big games and appreciates all of that. I think, you know, being able to survive a bad game with your team winning against the Saints to go to the Super Bowl, I think he's ready to rock and roll on Sunday against the Patriots.
I like it. I got $10 down, which would get me $100 if he's the MVP. So I'm there pulling with you on that one. And then
there you go.
Lastly, the MyBookie, it's 2.5 is the Rams as the underdog. Talk to me about covering the spread and what you think is going to happen in this game.
I got it 31-28. That's just the number that keeps hitting me for whatever reason. So I think the Rams, you know, I think their offense is going to score, and I just think it's going to come down to, you know, defensively getting a couple of key stops to give Jared and Todd and all. I just think there's so many ways that the Rams can beat an opponent. You know, I expect a big special teams play. I expect Aaron Donald, you know, to you know, be a forceful personality and presence, you know, in this game. And then I expect Jared Goff to come up, you know, big. And I think they're going to figure out a path to beat this team and take the Vince Lombardi trophy home all the way from Atlanta to Los Angeles, California.
I love it. 31-28, you said, and I've got it at 32-28, so I'm right there with you. I think everyone has it as a little bit lower scoring game. I think both these teams, if you look throughout the playoffs, put up a lot of points. Even near the end of the year, they were both, you know, the Rams the whole year, but Tom Brady's kind of been putting up numbers. Our defense has been known to give up a big play or two and then kind of tighten up near the red zone. So I think this is going to be back and forth. I'm expecting a big finish in the fourth quarter as well. You know, I've predicted anywhere from 14 to 21 points in the fourth quarter alone. I think it's going to have some action to kind of end this thing. That's the way the Rams season's been all year. So I would expect nothing less. But I'm with you. Rams win. Hopefully we're talking next week about where the parade's going to be and how all of that's going to break down. But I look forward to the rest of your content throughout the week. Guys, make sure to go give him a follow at Vinny Bonsignor on Twitter. Amazing stuff. Enjoy your time down in Atlanta. I appreciate your time here on the show. And look forward to talking to you again soon.
Always, man. You know that.
I ain't playing around. Make one boss move. I take it down. Get back, get back. You don't know me like that. Get back, get back.
I saw. I hit him right dead in the jaw.
In the jaw.
I can't.